Hi, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. Thank you for joining us live on our Facebook feed, and also for those of you watching this recorded session on Facebook, as well as possibly YouTube or on our podcast, and you're listening in via that. Our special guest tonight is Kevin Wood. He is from Entrepreneur University. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, how are you, Peggy?
Good. I'm glad to have you here tonight. I'm excited about our topic. We're going to talk about how homeschoolers benefit from entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And we're talking about our students and how they benefit from that. And so I thought maybe I'd have you start out and talk a little bit about Entrepreneur University and your role with them. And then we'll kind of go into some questions and we'll just go from there and see where our conversation takes us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be a part of this. So Entrepreneur University, I've been working for Entrepreneur University for, I've been working for DSH Investments for 5 years now. And so the founder of DSH Investments is David Hall. And so David Hall has been doing, business coaching for 23 years. He started his first business when he was 14 years old, which wasn't even legal at the time and really isn't legal. But so by the time he was 16, he had five employees. He wound up opening his second business when he was 19, which was Worldwide Marketing. And so he currently owns 13 businesses. And one of the main business is business coaching, which is how Entrepreneur University came about. And so through one of our business coaching clients, we were introduced to the head of a homeschool association by the name of Wayne Atchison in Hoover, Alabama. And Wayne, he's an entrepreneur at heart. He's owned several companies, but he had a heart for homeschoolers. And so we got into some conversations with him, and he said, you know, I have the brightest students of any homeschool in the nation. He said 97% of my homeschool students, they graduate with full scholarships, 4-year scholarships. And so he said the problem that we've run into is that we send these kids off to a college with a 4-year scholarship, all paid for, everything's paid for. And then they graduate and they're not able to get a job in their chosen profession. Or worse than that, they're able to get a job in their chosen profession, but they're not happy with it. It's not what they thought they would be. And worse than that, they come back and they're not the children that we sent them off to be. And so, so through the 4-year process of indoctrination that college has become, and them requiring you to take classes that are not necessary for you to get a good education, all of a sudden these kids become strangers. And that's heartbreaking to homeschool parents in general, because you spend all this time and effort trying to keep your kids away from the indoctrination that is already developing in high schools, but continues and gets worse in college. And so through the conversations that we had with him, he said, you know, we would love for you to be able to take everything that you've learned and put it into some kind of curriculum that we could teach our kids. And so It was a huge undertaking. It was a huge effort. But what we came up with was a 4-year curriculum, and everything is based on the 8th grade level, because what we found is a lot of people who have graduated high school are still on 8th grade level. And so if you make everything on 8th grade level, it's understandable. And so it's across the board. Everything is on 8th grade level. But the challenge is, if they're dependent on the maturity of the child, they need to be at least an 8th grade level to start. And so what we developed was a 4-year curriculum that kids could start as early as 8th grade, And we have started some earlier than that, depending on their level of maturity.
Okay.
And so it's a case-by-case basis, but just across the board, we usually say eighth grade. If you're in eighth grade, you can start it. And so basically, Entrepreneur University is, it's a four-year curriculum. If they start with us in the eighth grade, we will teach them everything that they need to know to be successful in business based on everything that we coach on with our current business clients and former business clients. And so it's all encompassing. And it's more about the foundational things that most business owners have no concept of. So, I mean, there are tons of people who open businesses. It's very common for people to say, well, I can do this myself. You know, why am I working for somebody, who's paying me a certain amount per hour when I could just do this myself? And they have no concept of the things that go into business that makes a business person successful. So what we found is the majority of businesses fail within the first 3 years, if you're lucky to make it that far.
Right.
So your milestones are the 1 year in business. If you make it past 1 year, you're probably going to make it to three. If you make it past the third year of business, you're probably going to make it to five. If you make it past five, you're going to make it to 10. And I know that sounds cliche and it's profiling, but it's statistics is what it is. And so that's one of the first things that we look at with a business is how long have you been in business? And so what's interesting is that depending on how long they've been in business and also the amount of revenue that they are bringing in every year, we can just about guarantee you that we can tell you what challenges and problems they're having in their business, which you would think, well, don't you at least need to know what's going on in the business? Not really, because we can actually tell just by those few things, which is kind of surprising to most. We usually sit back and let them tell us what they think their challenges are. Mm-hmm. And then usually the challenges that they think that are holding them back aren't actually the challenges that are holding them back. And so, Entrepreneur University is just based on everything that we know. And so, what's interesting is we're always adding content to it because business is always changing.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's not just I know because I've talked to you about this before. It's not just the kid watch videos and take tests. It's so much more than that.
Yeah. So basically that's the structure of it. It's all done online now. So the kids go on there and they print off a worksheet and they watch the videos. And this is for all ages, which is one of the misconceptions that we got. We originally created this for homeschool students because of Wayne Atchison, but we actually have students going through it. We also have parents going through it. And then we also have business owners who can't necessarily afford our business coaching. We send them through it if they can't. And so it's for all ages. It's not just watching videos and filling out worksheets and taking tests. It's also the mentorship that goes along with it. So we have we have an active Facebook group. All of the students have access to my email and my phone number. So I mean, we've had a few situations where students felt like they weren't getting it. So they weren't doing so well on the test. And their parents were looking at their grade and they're like, well, we're paying for this and you're not doing so well. And so, you know, they called up there. We had a phone meeting. Sometimes it's even in a person meeting, depending on where the student's located. But in all of those situations, it's not that the student's not getting the information correct. It's that they're not applying it correctly in the test phase. And that's one of the things that one of the biggest challenges with high school in general is that not every kid learns the same. And I'm sure that all of the followers of this group have experienced that. And it's like, my kid is so intelligent. My kid knows all of this stuff, but for some reason they don't do well on the test. Mm-hmm. And we know that they're smart, way smarter than the test. Some kids just aren't good test takers. I saw a really interesting analogy, and it was actually on Facebook, and it was the video had a monkey and a fish bowl with a fish in it, and they were saying to pass this test you have to climb this tree, and so the monkey was going to be great at it, but the fish wasn't, and so you're asking two different individuals to take a test that's designed for a specific type of person. And so all of our courses.
I was going to say, that's the beauty of starting your own business, is you can make your business about who you are, and it doesn't have to fit that mold. And it's nice that, you know, you as a mentor can kind of help these kids that struggle, to let them know they still can still succeed, even when the tests don't seem to be showing they're getting it.
And one of the best and greatest things that we have ever come up with and ever done, which is something that we don't normally do with our business coaching clients, is in year two of our classes, we have a, it's actually geared around figuring out what a kid is going to be best at. So it's a spiritual gifts assessment in one class. It's a social style assessment in another class, along with a money style. They do the six basic needs assessment, and they do a core values assessment. And so all of these different tests culminate into us being able to narrow down into four or five categories what a kid would be most successful at, and not only be most successful at, but feel most prosper or feel most fulfilled at. And so,
right, because that's very important. I mean, you can have a successful business, and there's a lot of people who do, and then they sell it off because they're not getting any personal fulfillment out of it.
Exactly. And so, and you know, I worked for the government for 15 years before I came to work for David, and I made great money. I mean, the government, they will pay you way more than you're worth, and they will pay you overtime and double time. But I didn't feel fulfilled. And so, you know, me and my wife had a long talk, and life's not about working for money. It's about feeling fulfilled. I mean, I make a significantly less amount of money now, but I enjoy what I do. I get to help people. And and because of my social style and my six basic needs and my core value and my spiritual gifts assessment, this job is perfect for me. I get to help people achieve their dreams. I get to help people feel fulfilled. And to me, spending time with having more time with my family and the culmination of those things, you know, that's perfect for me. And we've talked about this several times. David and I, he's made me a partner in some areas and wanted to make me a partner in other areas. And to me, it's not about that. It's for me, myself, if I've got all of the time that I need for my family and I have all of my financial needs met, I don't need to be partner in all of these different businesses. I don't need to own my own business. And so I'm getting the best of both worlds. But one of the advantages of a kid who's able to start growing, to start developing and growing a business before they graduate high school, guess what? There's no need to spend $80,000,
$120,000, $300,000. Amazing. Yes, yeah. Those college loans that people are just burdened with the rest of their lives.
And the federal government has made it mandatory for anybody to be able to get a student loan. And so you can rack up college debt all day long and get a degree that's worthless. Somebody with a degree in in cultural science. Where are you going to get a job that pertains to cultural science? And that's the most frustrating thing to me is that these college advisors will tell you, oh, yes, cultural science is a great degree to pursue. Mm. And then, but where are you going to get a job doing that? I mean, a kid racks up $120,000 in debt minimum, and then they're sitting there with a degree that they can't use, plus these student loans that they can't pay for. Now, what we have found is that there are certain things that you need to go to college for. If you want to be a lawyer, yes, you need to go to college. If you want to be a doctor, please go to college. I don't want somebody operating on me that has not went to college. My wife is a nurse. She loves playing in guts, and that is weird to me, but that's what she loves. That's not me. You have to go to college for that. She would love to be a surgeon. And we're actually looking right now at sending her back to get her master's and possibly another 4 years after that for her to become a surgeon. Those kind of things definitely need a degree.
Well, there's a wide spectrum, you know, all the way from people that, you know, are looking at those types of careers that need college. And got my oldest doing the same thing. He's going into biomedical engineering, which, again, needs a degree. But my second said, I'm not going to college. I don't want to rack up the debt. I mean, he was very smart about it, and he wants to see the world. So he's got plans now after his gap year this year to do some very creative job hunting. But I think that's really cool. And I think homeschoolers in general think this way more than the general public. Is that there are alternatives, because we start out having alternative schooling already. And so it gives our children, I think, more leeway to make those decisions themselves too. And that's a good thing. And so I love what you're doing, and especially, you know, promoting this to homeschoolers because they are a group that is much more open to taking this path.
Well, they're not contained in a box, as we like to say. They're all different, and that's one of the things that we found. Some of them like to do their schoolwork early in the morning. Some of them like to do it in the afternoon. But they get to conform everything to how they want to do it, which is one of the challenges if you try to go to a traditional college. Or even transfer into a traditional high school, all of a sudden they're put in this box and they don't know how to act, and it doesn't feel right. And so what we do understand, though, is that some people do need to go to college. And so the difference is, so if somebody wants to go to college to be a doctor, that's great. If they want to own their own practice, that's completely different. So they still need to go to college to learn how to do all of the things that a doctor does, but they also need to take courses that we offer in accordance with it. So when they do graduate, they can actually open their own practice, because people think all the time, well, I'm going to become a doctor, I'm going to become a lawyer, and I'm going to open up my own practice once I graduate. Well, but they have no business background.
Right.
And what's worse is that there's so many colleges now that offer business courses. They offer MBAs and all of those type of things. Most of the things they teach you, though, have nothing to do with what you actually need to know to be successful in business, which is sad. It's just like yesterday, we interviewed a guy for the second time. He graduated from UAB with a degree in marketing. And it breaks my heart to interview kids like this that just spent all of that money learning how to market to a business world that's changed since the last time they updated that stuff. The marketing industry is constantly changing. We happen to own a digital marketing company, so we have our finger on the pulse of these type of things and the changes that need to be going on. But we asked this kid, you know, have you ever made a cold call before? Do you know what a cold call is? He had no concept of what a cold call is. Well, you know, if you're working for a company like Coca-Cola or Microsoft, you're probably not going to be making cold calls. But for all of these other businesses in the area, you're probably going to have to make at least one or two of them on top of some other things. And so, oddly enough, we hired him because he had the right attitude. And he was, once we explained to him what these things were, he said, you know, yeah, I'd be willing to try that. And so, because you can, you hire attitude and you can train everything else.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that from somebody else lately too. I can't remember where it was, but they said, you know, that's the one thing when we're raising our children that we need to be focusing on more than anything, because that will determine their ability to succeed later in life is how they respond to life situations and how changeable, adaptable they are.
Yes.
Because we live in a society that changes constantly, and we have to be able to do that. And so, yeah, that's
and with all that change point. Comes a need for patience, and that is
so true.
That is so hard to come by these days, and people discard that. That's one of the first things that with this microwave society that we have is that patience is gone. I mean, if our hamburger is more than 2 minutes in the making, all of a sudden, the end of the world has happened, and we're freaking out. And
well, and I'm sure you teach about that in your curriculum too, because business does not happen fast, and you have to be really patient about just waiting for the time when certain things fall into place, and you know you've kind of paid your time. Doing the stuff you need to do.
That is in the curriculum. There's our curriculum is so vast. I mean, you're talking about 4 years worth of material. It basically focuses on leadership, equipping, attitude, and I just drew a blank for some reason. Oh, wait a minute. It's leadership, equipping, attitude, and relationships. So,
and that's one of the biggest things is relationships. Is, you know, we get so busy with the tasks of doing a business that people forget that your people are your greatest assets, and to make time for those people. And so, I loved when I saw that you focus on those relationships, because I don't think there are many business classes that talk about that. And that's here you've got the biggest things.
That's one of the biggest things. If you're moving up and there's not people moving up with you, then you're not actually moving up. You're stepping on people's shoulders to get above them. And so
exactly.
And this was a hard lesson. I mean, I teach this stuff. So I literally teach this stuff, but just a quick story. We hired somebody.
Yeah.
We hired somebody back in January to help out. David had known him for a long time. He's a really sweet guy, very nice guy. Do anything in the world for you. Always asking, you know, can he get you anything? Can he, you know, asking you about your calendar, about your schedule? And I was super stressed out when we hired him in because I had taken on some extra responsibilities. And, you know, just him stopping me to ask me about, you know, appointments on my calendar that I already knew about just really, I mean, at the time it frustrated me. Like, why is he bothering me to ask me about things that have nothing to do with him? And, you know, I didn't take the time to connect with him. And so, It didn't take but about a month or so, and then all of a sudden David had called me in his office and said, "Hey, you know what's going on with you and this guy?" And I said, "You know, I just ain't got time for him. I've got my job plus this other job I'm doing plus this other thing going on, and I'm, you know, just trying to keep this company afloat during this particular time. And David told me, he was like, your job is to make time for it, no matter what. No matter what you think, no matter if he's getting on your nerves, no matter how you feel at the time, your job is to make time with this guy. He's a new guy on the crew. He doesn't understand that when we're having a bad day or a bad week, he needs to back off. He's just trying to be himself, and no matter how busy you think you are, you've got to take the time to make this right. And so that's a hard pill to swallow. I told him, I said, we don't have time for me to do this. We have, you know, and so I went in there the next day, and I made the guy a sandwich, you know, just a token of some kind of gesture. And I was just trying to be nice. You know, I said, hey, I made you the sandwich. Here's you a drink, you know, hope you hadn't eaten lunch. He said, oh, I got lunch plans. And I was like, I said, look, I made the sandwich for you. If you've got lunch plans, you better put it in the refrigerator and eat it later. from then on, me and the guy hit it off. I'm not going to lie to you and say that sometimes he doesn't still get on my nerves. But before I speak, and I also understand that that's just him trying to connect with me and trying to have a conversation with me. And so for me to be a leader in the organization, I need to have that connection with him, even if it just means answering all the stupid questions he's got and talking about things that don't matter, that he has no part. I just, you know, but that's part of it. And that's something that you don't think of is the relationship aspect of it. And
if you look at it, you know, you think about how we've structured school and with our children and how they've learned to just learn the information and spit it out. It's not about the relationship at all with either the parents, the teacher, or even the fellow students in the room. But when you get out into the real world, what is it all about? It's about the relationships that you have. Exactly. And so choosing to teach your child that, you know, all about relationships and the importance of making that part of your business practice is very, very neat.
And that's one of the classes that I love that we have is it's on social styles. And so there's four different social styles. Just not to bore you with it or get too deep into details. There's amiables, which are people. There's expressives, who like to stand out, and they're the life of the crowd. There's drivers, who like to get things done. And there's analyticals, who are just big, detail-oriented people. And oddly enough, people who are on the autism spectrum are highly analytical. They're usually analytical. And so through that particular class, we teach people how to communicate better with all of the four social styles. We have a test that helps them figure out what kind they are. And then it also helps them determine what other people are. And so from a conversation that you're having with somebody like me, and depending on their surroundings and the clothes they're wearing and the way they shake your hand and the words that they say, you can determine which of these styles they are. And so it helps them communicate better with all of the people that they connect with. And what was really interesting is we actually have a client. His son has Asperger's. And so his son was 17 years old when they started coming to us. It was more for financial help than anything else. We also do financial coaching. But we taught them the things that we know about social styles. And so he realized that his son was, everybody has a primary and secondary. And so I'm an amiable expressive, amiable first, expressive second. Well, people on the autism and Asperger spectrum, they're analytical, which is it's kind of
like a double.
Yes. And so what he learned from us within a short period of time, he was able to communicate with his son in a way that he had never been able to communicate with him. And he said, I had no idea I could have this kind of communication with my son. And not only that, he's also able to have better communication with everybody else. And so
that's awesome.
The golden rule is treat people the way that that you want to be treated. The platinum rule is treat people the way they want to be treated. And so everybody's social style is different. Yes. If I learn your social style, I can treat you the way you want to be treated. And so analyticals just need to be treated a certain way, and you can communicate with them very successfully.
Yep. Definitely. So, well, we have a viewer that said hello.
Hello.
Hi, Rhesus. We're glad that you joined us. Just for those of you that are watching, just know that you can ask questions as we're conversing, and we'd be happy to get those questions answered as part of our conversation. But yes. I'm talking to Kevin Wood from Entrepreneur University, and he's talking a little bit about the program that they have for high school for homeschooled students and just how it can benefit your student. And so, Kevin, you were just talking about a dad and his son doing the classes. Now, do they both have to enroll separately, or do they enroll together?
Now, technically, legally speaking, in a perfect world, we would love for both of them to sign up. Excuse me. I'm the director of operations, and I'll just go ahead and tell you that if a child signs up for these classes, it's more than okay for the adults to watch it with them. And so they can, once they pay for these classes in full, they have access to it for life. And so any
that's awesome
upgrades that are made or additions, they are able to watch. And like I said, so if they didn't feel like they got what they needed to out of the class, they can go back and watch it again. They have access to it. Their parents can watch it with it. I'm totally okay with that.
Now, another question I have for you is, as I've been seeing in the news a lot in the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of parents are creating businesses for their children who are more functionally disabled so that they can have a job. Because right now there are no jobs in maybe their area that they could even have, and maybe they're not at the point where they can, you know, set up the whole business and run it themselves. Mm-hmm. But would that be another use for your program, or would that be something different that you offer?
No. So in year three, in year four, they really start actually working on their business. So year one is really about personal development and leadership development. So it's more about the individual person. Year two is more, it builds on year one, but it's more about figuring out what the kid wants to do or what they're going to be best at, what the person is going to be best at, in case they don't know. There's actually a class full of case studies about different types of businesses. So there's like businesses under $1,000 to start up, $5,000, $10,000, $100,000. So, you know, it gives them just some ideas of businesses they could start up. Year three is more about the actual business planning. And so this gets into doing actual business plans and business structures. We have some kids that start their business in the very first year. If they already know what they want to do, because if they know what they want to do, they can ask us the questions they need to ask us, and they can go ahead and start doing the things right then. If the kids don't know what they want to do, then after year two, when they have a better idea, that's when the questions start coming, because we do a lot of individual coaching. Because even though the basic concepts of business are all the same, when it comes to specific types of industries, some businesses are different and require different questions and different coaching. And so I had one person that was wanting to enroll not long ago. She's wanting to be a she's wanting to open a nursery for plants. But her parents actually own a farm, and so they were, you know, they wanted to know, can we ask questions about running a farm, even though our kid is wanting to open a nursery? And I said, of course you can. You know, it's a, you know, it's a family thing, you know. But yeah, so year three, year four is really labs. And so that's where they're actually solving real world problems that our business coaching clients have, and also problems in their business, because by year four, they should actually have their business up and running.
Yeah, that's awesome that it moves into real world experiences, because that's really how we learn the best.
Yes.
And if it was just on paper, I mean, we wouldn't, you know, we can take so much and learn it. But when you are stuck with that dilemma and you really have to think through it and go, oh, this, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. I guess I gotta like buy into this all the way and make a commitment and do the hard stuff.
What's really interesting is watching several different children, adults, look at the same problem and come up with different solutions.
And that would be neat.
It is. And so it's very rare that you see any kid approach it the same, because kids are very imaginative, which is one of the problems with high school, with our high schools and our colleges, is that they restrict this creativity and this, these kids are naturally trying to think outside the box because they have no concept of what a box is until we show them what a box is. And so if you're able to nurture that creativity and innovation, kids can achieve things that you and I, it would blow our minds. I mean, it's looking at the same problem, just developing different solutions. And so it's really important for us to nurture this creativity and innovation at a young age so it can develop by the time they get to high school. And by the time they get to high school, it's just going to be like, you know, try to hold them down at that point because they're going to be so
right.
Awesome.
Well, and I think that for – you know, people that my generation, I find that having my son around and having a business of my own, I listen to him because he does some work for me. And he thinks of things that I would never have thought of doing that have been so successful because I've stopped and listened to him. And that's sometimes hard, but for all you older people, definitely listen to your kids. Don't squash their creativity, or even in their schooling, when they do something that wasn't the way you taught them, but it still works or is creative, definitely encourage it, because those are the types of kids that are not going to come out cookie cutter. And unfortunately, we grade kids on cookie cutter, you know, standards until they're done with college or high school. And then we grade them on their creativity because that's what the world does, isn't it? Why is it so backwards? It's just but we think that this is the way to success, and it really isn't. It definitely is teaching our kids how to be entrepreneurs, how to think outside the box, how to, you know, do things that, like we were talking about, being relational and knowing who you are. You know, how many classes do we have in high school where we figure out who we are instead of how to know what everybody else knows?
Exactly. It's so sad. You know, my wife has been trying to get me to go back to college recently, just because it's free, because she's a retired veteran. And so she's earned the right for me to go back to school under her GI Bill. And I keep telling her, you know, I don't know what I would want to go back for, because I don't know what I would enjoy, because if I go to school for another 2 to 4 years on top of what I've already done, it's definitely going to have to be something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And so she keeps telling me, you know, well, why don't you go back to school for marketing, you know, business marketing, or get your MBA or all these things. And I keep telling her, baby, they're not teaching current things anymore. And I would just be frustrated. I would go to these classes and I would try to tell these people how they're wrong, and they would fail me and they would kick me out. And because I have real world experience in these things, and I know the reality of it. And those are a bunch of professors teaching me out of textbooks that were written years ago, and they're not current anymore. And so,
right. And they've never applied them in their own lives either, which makes it really difficult, because they're trying to teach from theory instead of from a practical standpoint. And we don't live in a theoretical world. We live in the real world.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the things that's made me able to teach the classes that we've taught and or the classes that we've taught, and some of the curriculum, because we're really picky about who teaches what classes, and do you have enough experience to teach these classes? I have opened up a business before, and I've worked as a business owner before, and so Entrepreneurial Challenges was a great class for me to teach, because of the fact that, you know, I'd already been through that the challenge of it. And so you learn a lot trying to open up a business. And a lot of, like I was telling you earlier, you know, a lot of people think, well, I can just do this on my own, you know, there's, instead of letting somebody else pay me to do it. You learn real quick, though, once you get into the business world, that it's not as easy as working for somebody else who's got it all figured out. And so I learned the hard way. And those those hard lessons are good teaching experience for my students. They've learned a lot through me from that. And so better teaching experience is David, who's been successful at it.
But I would guess that not all of the students that have started a business, they find out, you know, this is really my calling. There's probably a certain percentage that say, well, you know, I learned a lot through this. Maybe I wasn't cut out to be a business owner, but maybe I understand, you know, how to work within a business better. And they can take this training elsewhere too.
Just to be totally transparent with you, we have we've had several kids that got through the first year and they were bored with it. It was, and you could tell that those were the kids that their parents pushed them into it. They were like, oh, you're going to be a business owner. We're going to get you in this entrepreneurial gig. And you could tell that the kids, they weren't interested in it. They just didn't. And I'll be the first one to tell people that this is not for everybody. Yeah. If your kid does not have an entrepreneurial mindset, if your kid doesn't think about ways to make money so he can buy that toy at the store, he might not be an entrepreneur. If he's not asking you if he can mow the grass so he can get money to go to the store and buy a coat, he might not be an entrepreneur. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And so you can definitely tell the difference in the students who want to be there and who are forced to be there. And so,
that's a good point. You know, each of them have their own way. And a lot of times they don't know either until they try something like that too. And so that's a good thing for them to at least explore and to say, well, you know, and not make a mistake down the road when they say, oh, I want to open a business and do this. You know, sometimes maybe that, even if they're being forced to do it, may save them lots of money in the end because they didn't start their own business. And like you had said earlier, well, I could get paid what my boss gets paid if I just opened my own business and did this. But are you cut out to do that? And that's a,
which is another thing, which is another great subject. I mean, you've got some kids that graduate from college, from high school, and they go to college and they have no idea what they want to be. They just know that they're supposed to go to college and that they'll figure it out sometime after the second year, hopefully. And it's really a waste of money. I myself went to school to get a trade when I graduated high school because I didn't know what I wanted to do. But there are so many kids that get a 4-year degree, and they really don't like what they want, what they're doing, and or they don't. There's a difference between someone who goes to college because they have a desire to learn something versus somebody who's going to get a degree.
Right.
My wife, for instance, she is one of the best nurses that if you were going to be in hospital being taken care of, and she works in the OR, you would want her being in the room because she cares enough to learn all of the things that need to be learned. There are so many nurses that graduate from college that graduated with C's and just barely passed enough just to get that degree to make that money. And that's that. Most kids that graduate high school don't have the appreciation of the money that's being spent or the desire to learn the things that they want to learn.
Yeah, very
honestly,
true. Yep.
Honestly, if I went back to school, I think that I might want to study astronomy. I really like the study of the stars. But
I have a degree in physics, and I took some astronomy classes, and they weren't my cup of tea.
but you have to have physics.
But exactly. Yeah.
So you go for physics, and they make you take astronomy, and that's my point. Do you need to know astronomy for physics? I mean,
no. It involved a lot of formulas. So I guess if you're good at physics, you're good at astronomy. But yeah, my oldest went and got a welding certificate before he decided that welding and a trade wasn't his thing. And you know what? When he did go to college, he's been all in since because he realized that out of the choices he had in front of him, that was really what was going to get him to where he wanted to go. I haven't had to push at all with him in college because of that. And so he's just very driven.
Welding is hard.
And plus he went to welding school in Florida where it was, 100 plus degrees and no air conditioning. And it's a tough profession.
I did ballistic welding for the government for 15 years. And so I know exactly. And it was to the point to where I was willing to take a third of the pay to do something different. And so I understand completely. And so, it's one of those things, do what you want to do and be happy doing what you want to do. But more importantly than that, figure out what it is that you like. Most people just don't know that. And most people don't know their kids well enough to be able to guide and direct them. You have to pay attention to your kids and you have to nurture the things.
That's a really good point. And, those high school years that, we're talking about are those times where we need to, as parents, really spend a lot of time allowing our children to try things.
Yes.
And see what they're good at and see what they're not good at and not judge them for not being good at something.
Exactly.
Because they tried. And that's how they find out who they are. And
that's the hardest part for parents. I'm new at this parenting thing, but it's the hardest thing to let your kid try things. And I know my parents, they were the same way. Just letting your child try something and fail because we don't want our kids to fail. And that's a hard lesson for us to learn.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got about 10 more minutes. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. In your program, do you tell parents like how many credits this is worth, your program, or how many hours? I mean, is it a full curriculum for a year, or is it a partial curriculum?
So the way that the classes run, or they're consecutive, we normally run them consecutively with the homeschool year. So the kid still gets all of the breaks that they normally get. Although it can be taken, you can start it any time of the year, and it's a self-paced course. there is only one class that can count as a math credit, and that's in year one. It's a business and this personal business, personal and business finance. So that counts for one math credit. Some of the other courses, they may be able to count as electives, but as far as going towards your degree, the point of Entrepreneur University is for them to not to have a piece of paper at the end of the course, mm-hmm. which we'll give them that. We give them a certificate. It's more for them to have something tangible and have
right.
a business. I mean, mm-hmm. we have mm-hmm. one kid that made $7,000 the first year. And so do you think he cares mm-hmm. about a certificate that says I'm an entrepreneur? No,
he's, probably not.
he's excited about the fact that he's able to make money. But we have partnered with Hope Christian Academy in Hoover, Alabama. And so the kids yeah. that are attending that particular homeschool group, if they turn in all of their grades from which we will actually turn them in for them, and they pass all their courses, Hope Christian Academy is actually offering them a business diploma. And we are also willing to partner with any other homeschools in the United States right now. So if there's any other local homeschool groups or associations that y'all are familiar with and mm-hmm. y'all would like to get set up with us, it's not a problem for us to provide all of the records and everything like that. And basically, you're just changing the type of diploma. You know, they have advanced diplomas. They have science diplomas that they hand out during high school. They mm-hmm. they've gotten to where they're almost like college now. It's just a business diploma saying that you have taken classes that are part of the business curriculum.
I'm going to bring up your website too, just so we can see that. Let me see if I can get the configuration right here. Just so, and the website is entreu.org.
Yes. So there's some pretty good blog articles on there. There's quite a few of them about homeschoolers and homeschool groups. I've probably covered a lot of the stuff that they've talked about in the blog articles tonight. And then there's a list of all of the classes that they can take. So we do sell all the classes individually, but we also mm-hmm. have a year one bundle. We have a year two bundle, a year three bundle, and a year four bundle. And so that's just for the kids that are – it's discounted if they buy it a year at a time versus the individual classes, because – we do actually sell this to business owners too, and we don't give them the discount that we mm-hmm. give homeschool groups. So if you're affiliated with a homeschool group or homeschool association, and that also includes immediate family. And so if we've got some parents that are like, hey, that sounds like a good idea for me, the discount also applies to you. The discount coupon or discount, the scholarship code, as we like to call it, is HSLDA, which a lot of
HSLDA?
People...
HSLDA?
Yes. A lot of people are probably familiar with that because...
Just like the Homeschool Legal Defense Association.
Yes.
So that's the discount code.
Yes. And it's all capital letters. If you and click on...
Change that.
And do what? So if you go and click enroll in the school, it's free to enroll. It's free to enroll. And then you can purchase any of the classes. When you click purchase class, it'll ask you for some more information. And at the bottom, it'll have a place that says coupon code. You can type in that HSLDA, and it's 50% off of the course prices. And so it's typically $3,600 for 1 year of all five classes. And so it knocks it down to $1,800 per year, which is payable in 12 monthly payments. And so once the 12 payments or the one payment has been made of 1800, the classes are yours forever. And so it's, like I said, it's something that can be gone over. It's timeless material. It's evergreen material, but we do make updates to it regularly. And so we have professional curriculum writers who are always looking at things and updating things. And like I said, as things change in business, they also need to change on this curriculum.
Right.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's, and that's I think that's the biggest challenge for us is just not knowing what, I mean, we obviously know the changes that are happening because of the 13 businesses that we own. It's the implementation of that into the curriculum, because you have to find where in the curriculum you were talking about what and going back. And so it's definitely a challenge, but like I said, we have professional curriculum writers that keep up with all that and make changes as necessary and needed.
That's awesome. And, you know, I just really think that, you know, the hands-on approach to mentoring is so important. And to offer that is over and above a lot of what, you know, high school curriculum
I'll
providers
just be honest with you. Give. That right in itself is the biggest value of what we offer. If you were to call up to our particular establishment and try to get a 1 hour appointment with David, it would cost you $500. He charges $500 an hour for his time. But every time one of our kids posts a question in that Facebook group, he will spend as much time as he needs answering those questions. And that's just part because he has a heart for young kids that want to be entrepreneurs like him. And, you know, you get these business owners that are mad because, you know, or they're disappointed because they got charged $500. And I said, well, you know, maybe you should just purchase the course and you get access to the private Facebook group and you can ask them all the questions you want. And so, but I mean,
well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Kevin. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope our viewers definitely did too. There's just so much to learn and so many different ways to think, like you said, outside the box on the future for our children and how entrepreneurship can be one of those. And especially for children who struggle in school, I think this is a really good option for parents to consider instead of a typical high school curriculum track. Yeah. And especially trying out and seeing how well they do in this. And so thank you for offering this and just for the experience that, and like you said, the hands-on approach, it's definitely something that's been needed, you know, for a long time. And it's nice to know that your organization is helping homeschoolers in this way. So if anybody
would like to have a consultation one-on-one with me, there's a place on the website. Just click the link. You can book a link, book a calendar event with me. And I would love to talk to anybody who would like to hear more.
Yeah. And Entrepreneur University is also on the SPED Homeschool website. Yes. They're one of our partner organizations. If you look under curriculum and go down that page, you can find their link and it'll take you right there to their website. So thank you again, Kevin.
It
was wonderful having you. And thank you all of you for joining us on this episode of SPED Homeschool Conversations. Next week, we're going to have Kim Kautzner. She's the creative director of Write Shop, and we're going to talk about writing strategies for children with special needs. I want to thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for partially funding this broadcast, and also for viewers like you. And you can contribute to this broadcast also if you go to our website at spedhomeschool.com and click on our donate button on our menu. So thank you and good night. And if you want to keep the conversation going all week, definitely join our Facebook support group where we are conversing all the time. Until next week, when I'll see you here again. Bye.